Well, I want to welcome everyone today to our Christmas celebration. We're looking forward to the festivities and things we're going to do today and some of the things we have after service as well. So I'd encourage you just to go ahead and stay after service today. And it's good to see everybody's smiling face. I hope you're counting down and getting ready for Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we come before you and we thank you that today is a day that you've made and we rejoice in it. And God, we thank you for your joy that floods the earth at this time and really every day. And God, we pray, Lord, for this time that we'll bring you glory and honor as we remember the joy and everything that you did at Christmas. And we thank you and give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody stand, please.
Thank you.
Christmas, at least for me sometimes, has the misfortune of going and shopping and looking for the perfect gift. I was out yesterday at South Point. I don't know if you went out yesterday or sometime. Maybe your schedule allows you to go when a lot of people aren't there. But it was kind of interesting. I'm pulling up and it's like starting to snow, which kind of makes you feel more like it's Christmas. But you know, it was interesting because Linda and I did that great, we weren't looking for the great present, first of all. We were looking for the what? The great parking spot, right? And so we're going back and forth. And actually, I mean, we worked out pretty well, but we've all been there where we're not going to go shopping in this period of time. And for whatever reason, you end up shopping, looking for something, and you're like, I don't want to go, but I really got to get this off. And you end up there, and people are everywhere. What am I going to do? But you know, finding the right gift and finding a gift is an important part of Christmas. Not just searching and finding a gift. Sometimes, you know, you've got to get a gift for somebody and you already know what you're going to get them. Right? You just, man, and it's exciting. You can't wait to give that person. Then other times they're like, wow, I'm not really sure what I'm going to get them. Maybe they've given you some ideas and you're like, man, none of that gets me. I just don't have any desire to do anything like that. And then maybe you find that gift, but gift giving is an important part of Christmas. And what to give for Christmas is a neat thing. And really thinking also today and even at Christmas, what God gave us and how important that is and how much God loves us and what He gave for us. Because that really is the best gift that we could ever receive.
Amen.
Amen. Where's going to come in?
Church. Our church is our house and our house is your house, so we welcome everyone in here this morning. Don't really have any announcements this morning. We just want to make sure that everyone is feeling welcome, having a good time, good to see everybody despite our weather. I said yesterday when I was at work that the snow, as the pastor mentioned, makes it feel like it's the holiday season, like Christmas is just around the corner. So hope everyone is enjoying each other. We're going to take up an offering at the end of the service. So just want to make sure that everyone is welcome. Good morning to everyone. And enjoy the show.
Thank you.
All right. We're ready.
Happy birthday to you.
Welcome to the And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
The Magi brought the king's gifts to the king, and they gave him their best.
The shepherds and wise men were not the only ones who gave Jesus gifts. We read in the scriptures of other people who, in later years, gave him the best they had.
Born tonight in Bethlehem, his mother holds him close and sings a sweet lullaby. All the world lay sleeping, unaware that God himself has come in the night. Shepherds tremble as the angels sing. In their song, the voice of God speaks peace to the world. A miracle has happened. God has come and God has spoken. But the miracle has only just begun. And the God who spoke is speaking still. And the God who came still comes. And the miracle that happened still happens in the heart that will believe and receive the miracle of Christmas. Oh. Miracle. So come to Bethlehem again and see. The one who's come to rescue us, our Savior and King. Bring your past, the joy, the sorrow, all your hope to find tomorrow. And hear the words again, fear not, and know that God is near. For the God who spoke is speaking still, and the God who came still comes. And the miracle that happened still happens in the heart that will believe and receive the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of Christmas. The miracle. And the God who spoke is speaking still. And the God who came still comes. And the miracle that happened still happens in the heart that will believe and receive the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of Christmas. Believe the miracle of Christmas. Oh, will you believe?
that day. They will still get the loot. I'm almost ashamed to tell you what I gave to Jesus. It was so small, just 2 pennies. It was all I had. Jesus smiled and told the men who were looking on that I gave more than all the others. You see, I kept nothing for myself. I wanted Jesus to have it. One day Jesus came along while I was fishing for my kitchen. I made a living from my kitchen. See me. Jesus said, "May I have your boat? I need it so I can talk to all the people. I want all to see and hear me. I need that boat, but I gave it to him. I'm glad I did."
One day, near the end of Jesus' ministry, he needed transportation to ride into Jerusalem. The only gift that I could give was the gift of a donkey and a colt for him to ride upon. The disciples came and asked for the colt, and I released the colt to them. I was very happy and joyous at the time that I could give just the colt and the donkey.
When you give this Christmas. Well, I hope everybody's doing well. And on our behalf of our family, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. We're honored to have you guys here today, and just excited that you're here. And hope that you'll stay with us, and we've got some candy and some different things. Not candy, hello, I'm upselling something I don't even have. Don't tell kids you got candy and then they'll deliver. Right, we've got some different things. We've got some cookies and some different things, some Jamaican coffee. We're looking forward to having as well. So just looking forward to a good day. You know, and so I want to talk about for just a few minutes here. We'll get done just shortly, but I just want to talk for just a few minutes here about the first gifts of Christmas. You know, so I want to talk about considering what others gave to Jesus. You know, we just sang something here.
I didn't sing it. Aren't you glad?
But Kyle and Linda just talked about giving this Christmas away. That to give is better than receive.
Amen.
And you know, there's a big push in our country
whether positive and somewhat negative as well, about focusing on ourselves a lot. But Christmas really is a time that we give and give to others. And so it's a wonderful time. In fact, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and Mary and Joseph continue to live in Bethlehem. We focused on this story here just a little bit ago, from the star to the shepherds to the wise men to the obvious birth of the babe in the manger. And just before, there was a period of time of about 2 years, and just before the angel was to warn them and say, "Hey, Joseph and Mary, get out of here. They're coming. They're about to destroy you. They're going to do something horrible." There were some other visitors. I know that we see, like, there's even a manger scene there on the welcoming table. We see it, as the angels are there, and the shepherds are there, and the wise men are there, and they're all there, like, at the same time. We've seen the video that comes on once a year, and, it all ends in 30 minutes. We read in the Bible, it's one verse to the next verse, and all these things are going on, and we kind of think that it all happened maybe within 24, 48 hours. But the reality is that the wise men saw the star at the birth of Jesus, and they had to seek and to travel for quite some time. Most people agree that the wise men actually got there when Jesus was about 2 years old. Now, I know that's much different than, what we have on our little table at home and what we've seen, but that's what actually transpired. And so there they were, a young family in a house, and they received unexpected visitors, a knock at the door, visitors from a faraway land. They were bright and just excited to finally get to a place where they got to meet what they were looking for, this babe. They had come at great expense and great risk to come and worship the newborn king. The shepherds came the night that Jesus was born, but not the wise men. These men appeared afterwards. So do you think that maybe Mary and Joseph thought that they could keep this birth of this child kind of under wraps, right? You know, that he was born, and honestly, he was born with great acclimat, but yet great humility at the same time. I mean, how many babies would be born, especially the Son of God, in a manger, right? The place where the animals were. But yet, how many births were proclaimed and sung about by the angels? So you have almost the two extremes of humility, and there's a young couple with not a lot, and then you have angels of God proclaiming that the King and the Son of God is born. So, in fact, after that period, maybe Mary and Joseph thought that they could kind of keep it under wrap, that there wouldn't be a great exclamation for quite some time of who this child was. But then almost 2 years later, you can imagine, these three wise men, and some would translate and use the word kings, came to worship Jesus. You think that these wise men came just three of them? I mean, again, we kind of see it, and we kind of see it, and we watch it, and we kind of have this period. But, I mean, these guys were, you realize they went and visited the king over their area. Now, I've visited some states and some different areas. I've been to a couple of countries and different things. But I've never had the governor of Virginia welcome me when I went through the period. Maybe you have, right? I've been to New York City. I didn't have the mayor of New York City personally welcome me to the region, right? Did you guys have that happen to you? But you realize when the wise men came through, that the king literally came and welcomed them. This is not, like, oh, wow, hum, hum, these guys barely made it, and they got here, and wow, here's the gifts, now let us go back. There's probably quite a company traveling with them. I mean, this is not something significant. This young couple is living kind of out and about in kind of an insignificant circumstances, but they're visited by something that is very significant. And so when they came, you can imagine the scurry in the city as the company came. And honestly, I mean, they were wise, but they were kings. They were wise. They were wealthy. They were coming into a small community, probably had trouble themselves finding places to stay and to do all these different things. Everybody was aware that they had come. So it was significant that these three wise men had come. And so, not only was Jesus recognized by the Jews, but he would be recognized by foreigners alike. The angel Gabriel said that he is the Son of God. Therefore, he belonged to the world, and that same world belongs to him. So there are those kings traveling in significance. What would these kings give Jesus? I mean, what would we give Jesus today? man, how about an Xbox Kinect? It'd be pretty cool, right? I mean, he's growing up. He could kind of, it would move with his joints. It would help his development, right? He's going to be a carpenter. He needs good development, hand-eye coordination. Maybe that would help him. Maybe a 3D TV. Jesus could experience life in reality there as a young kid as he's playing games and watching movies, right? He can experience it for himself. Or maybe just you want him to take some worship tunes. Maybe you give him an iPod or an iPad or something. Or maybe you give him a portrait. Hey, Jesus, great to see you. Here's a portrait of our family. I want you to remember us for a while. So here we are, and here's what we look like. Or maybe you'd lay out some kind of fancy meal. You'd invite him to your house. You'd say, Jesus, we just gave you the best that we have here. Sit and enjoy and dine and eat well. Or maybe you do something pretty easy. Maybe you give him a gift card, right? Just go in, pop, and get it. Don't know exactly what to get Jesus. Maybe Jesus can kind of figure it out himself. And you know, hey, it's kind of cool. You know, you give him something and he can respond, right? But the wise men had seen the star. And they had traveled from a faraway land. Yet they face the same question we just jokingly, you know, were asking. What would they give this one that they understood that was prophesied that would be the King of Kings? What gift would they give him? What would they give the babe? And their gifts would reflect both the givers and the recipient and what they understood about him. In fact, in Matthew 2:11, it says that they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So let's talk about these three gifts. The first one is gold. And it's not really surprising that you'd give a king gold, right? Because even in today's society, the most precious metal that we have is gold, right? I mean, if we don't really have a king in our country, different things, but we've seen maybe movies where it involves a king, or we know other countries where there's kings, right? And what do they have, a crown, and what's it made of? It's made of gold, right? Because that is precious. That is valuable. And it's a standard, honestly, by which wealth is measured, right? Even, I mean, we might today measure it in dollars. We might another time measure it in pounds. We might another time measure it in something else. But really, gold has been a standard of the way to acclimate wealth. And so gold symbolized kingship. Again, it's what a crown is made of. And by divine revelation that caused these travelers to understand who this was not an ordinary child to give a present to. These travelers proved that they gave something valuable. They gave something, honestly, that was sacrificial. The gift of gold represents a heart of sacrifice. We read from We Three Kings. And if you look at We Three Kings, the one verse there is, Born a king on Bethlehem's plain. Gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. So the first gift was gold, and that represented kingship and a heart of sacrifice. The second gift was frankincense. Now this seems weird to us today. I mean, honestly, we might give some perfume, a guy, we might give him some cologne, but that really wasn't what frankincense represented in that day. Everyone in Israel, especially those in Jerusalem, understood the purpose of frankincense. Because when they went into the temple, there was a certain fragrance that was always there. You know what it was? It was the fragrance of frankincense. So it always reminded them when they came, and these travelers came, and they opened up that frankincense, and you can imagine the aroma filling the room. Instantly, it took them back to a place that they went annually for a sacrifice to the temple, and they were like, wow, our house now smells like the temple. And so when they brought frankincense, it was a holy oil. It represented the pure and holy presence of God, especially in relationship to you and I and our fellowship with God as believers. Frankincense, really, the word literally means whiteness, which means purity. No, we don't talk about it much in today's society, but there's a reason that a bride usually wears white, right? Bride wears white, why? Because it represents purity. And that's the same thing that frankincense, it could literally be translated whiteness, meaning purity. And so frankincense, it symbolized that Jesus would become our high priest and make intercession between God and humanity in the same way at the time of Judah in Jerusalem, at that time that the high priest went and made a sacrifice for the people to cover their sins. So the first gift symbolized the kingship. Frankincense spoke of godliness. Imagine how Mary and Joseph must have felt when their son received gifts of kingship and godliness. Again, back to we three kings, when it comes to frankincense, we already sang today, it says, frankincense to offer have I. Incense owns the deity nigh. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God on high. Right? Goes back to worshiping God, the frankincense. And the third gift is this, is one that he opened, which Mary probably shrunk back because it was myrrh. And again, when we say myrrh, we don't have a concept. But you know, if I push the door open, let's go back to South Point and maybe we find a parking place. But if we walk into the cinema, what's one fragrance we're going to smell?
Popcorn,
right? And we instantly know it. If you think about it, maybe you can even sort of smell it now, right? I mean, there is a correlation between the cinema and popcorn. And there was a correlation in this society between myrrh and something else. And it was kind of gloomy. And it seems weird that these three guys brought gold, which meant kinglyship, brought frankincense, which meant godliness, and then they bring myrrh. In the same way the popcorn and there's fragrance, and it represents something in the cinema, myrrh represented something else as well that every Jewish family knew. Because when somebody died and they embalmed the body, right? Different groups sometimes have different things that they do, even in today's society. You know, if you're, I was speaking to a pastor that had worked and he was doing a funeral of somebody that was Indian. Now this is this to me sounds very unusual, but this is what they do, okay? At the end of the funeral, they literally take the body and they will leave it so people can respond and hug the body and different things while they're leaving that service. That to me sounds very strange, but for them, that is normal. And to Jewish at that time, when they smelled myrrh, it meant that a dead body was being embalmed. That's kind of strange, isn't it? Oh, gold bombs, like, yeah, that's my son, right? Frankincense, oh yeah, he's going to bring the presence of God. God's with him. But this one is very, very different. The smell was so identifiable. If they'd ever had a family or a friend or anybody, if they'd ever gone into a home and been a part of that whole process, instantly when they smelled that, they knew what it meant. It's a smell of grief, and it reminded everyone of the pain of death. To someone in Judah, it literally smelled like death. And honestly, we all know how the story goes. It starts in a manger, and it honestly, part of the story doesn't end at the cross. It ends with the tomb being wide open and his body not being there. But part of that is the cross. And in Mark 15:22-24, it says this, because it was beginning here as a babe he received myrrh. And here in Mark 15:22-24, it says, they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha. Talking about when he was about to be die, which means place of the skull. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to a cross. So he got a gift that represented something here that would basically portray what was going to happen to him, that he would die. Going back again to We Three Kings, we sang the verse, we actually didn't sing it, we heard it sung, myrrh is mine. Its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrow, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone cold tomb. Wow. The first three gifts of Christmas. The first gift was what? Gold. Which represented the kingship. Wow. Wow. You know, haven't we watched a lot of movies where they're trying to figure out, or at least I have, where they're trying to break into something so they can what? Remove the gold, make the heist, and get away, right? We understand gold is valuable. And in this story, it represents kingship. The second gift, the gift there of frankincense and an aroma that filled the temple and then in turn filled their home, representing godliness and representing the very presence of God. And the third gift there was a gift of myrrh, which represented gloom and death. It's interesting that a babe about 2 years old would receive three gifts that would represent really what was going to transpire in the 33 years of his life. So we go back to a question, kind of a reflective question. But what will you give Jesus? It won't be an Xbox Kinect, right? Right? It really won't be a gift card. God really doesn't need it, does he? I mean, you think about the mountains and the oceans that he created, and the beauty that that involves, really, what can we give him? The best thing that we can give him is our life. That's the very best. He's not looking for our gold. He's not looking for X, Y, Z. He's not looking for all the sacrifices that we can make. What he's looking for, honestly, is our life. And he's not looking for, I've met some people that supposedly have given their lives, and honestly, they've given their leftovers. You know, leftovers is stuff that you didn't use, and you put it in the refrigerator, you think you're going to eat it, but then you probably end up not eating it, and you put it in the trash can, and you clean it up and throw it away. God is not looking for our leftovers. He's looking for the best of our life. He gave his very best for you and I. So in turn, we need to give our best to God. Wow. You know, we sing about amazing grace all the year long and how he gave his best for us. You know, the best gift that I could give at Christmas this year would be to give God my life. In fact, I just encourage you, you could grab me afterwards or some other time, and if you want to talk more about that, I'd be honored to talk to you about that. Maybe you just want to take some time over this holiday and you're with somebody this morning and you'd like to talk to that person. I'd encourage you to do that. Take some time and kind of, you know, you maybe have a couple days off, and I know it's hustle and bustle, but take a couple of moments and reflect and ask God and say, God, no more leftovers. I'm giving you my life. God, I've never given you my life. Now I'm going to give you my life. In fact, maybe you just want to do it now. Let's just pray, and if you want to do that, then we can do it, and if not, you can do it at some time, but I encourage you to do it over this next week. Let's pray together. Dear God, we just come before you. And God, we thank you how much you love us. It's amazing. And God, we thank you for the gifts, the first gifts of Christmas, that of gold, that of frankincense, and that of myrrh. And God, that represents kingliness. God, that represents godliness. And finally, that represents your death. And God, today we thank you for your death at Christmas, both the life that came in the manger to the death of the cross. And God, we ask, Lord God, that you would come into our lives in a fresh new way. God, we don't give you our leftovers. We don't give you our holdovers. Maybe we've never given you our life, and we do that in this moment. And we just give you glory and honor.
I want it too.
We just surrender all. We give you glory and praise, God. I bless everyone here, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Fred's going to come back at this time, if you would.
At this time, we're going to take up the offer. But before we take up the offer, I just want to remind you that next week, for the next couple of weeks, we will not be having a children's church. The children will join us here in the sanctuary, and the Bible study will resume January 12th. So mark your calendar for that over the next couple of weeks. No Wednesday night Bible study. Let us bow our heads and bless the offering. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for reminding us what this season is all about. It's all about recognizing you and what you did for us, Lord, the indescribable gift. We thank you so much for that, for what you gave. Lord, at this time, we have an opportunity to give unto you, and we know that not everyone can give, but some of us can, Lord, and we ask that you bless that. We ask that you bless the intentions of the hearts of those who are giving and those who can't give but would like to give. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to bless you in this way, to offer our act of sacrifice. Lord, we ask that you multiply, allow it to be a blessing so that others can experience the indescribable gift of salvation that you've given to us. All these things we ask in your precious Son's name. Amen. Amen.
Cookies are going to be to my left here, and some different things cooked that you'll be able to stay and enjoy that. But can we turn on some lights? Joshua, can you turn on some lights for us? Voila, let there be light if there was. But if we can stand, I just want to pray. Let's pray and grab the hand of the person beside you. Dear God, we just come before you and we thank you for your goodness and your love for us. And God, I just pray, and we pray for the person to our left and right. God, we pray for this Christmas to be a time of love, of peace, and in joy, both for themselves, their friends, and their families. And God, we just thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And may we in turn share that peace and joy with others. May we give this Christmas away. God, I bless everyone here. I command your wisdom, your favor, and your knowledge upon them. God, may you prompt them and guide them throughout their lives, and may they know you and share you with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.